they are on site during certain athletic contests that don't get paid a thing, simply to make sure that a doctor is on site, particularly like in the game of football, and they're not being paid a thing. It is very possible when you reach out to the medical community, you will find when it comes to these kinds of fees that I'm not going to say they're going to waive their fees, but they would be very willing to at least cooperate as much as possible, particularly with those schools which have a high number of boys and girls that come from low-income families. And when you reach out to the private sector and certain businesses in particular, and they know that their contribution is going to be dedicated to that, I believe, maybe I'm idealistic, they will find a way to implement this legislation and at the same time make sure that no boy or girl doesn't get to participate in that particular sport, in that particular school that they want to participate in.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the discussion that we were having thus far, which seems to place an emphasis on fees. That's a part of what I hear. But as I also read the bill, I think the thrust is around keeping students safe. And so that leads me to the question, what is the level of physical exam that would be required so that we get a better handle on understanding what the cost might be, whether it's borne by parents or it's borne by a given district.
Chair Starr, I really believe that's an extraordinary question, and it's answered in terms of legal language in subsections 4 and 5 in a general way, but to get to the specifics, Chair Starr, I am not a doctor, and I believe that the medical individuals behind me, when they come forward, will testify, will answer specifically, Senator Gordley, your question. I am not prepared as a physician to answer that. I do think when we spell out lines 12 through lines 18, we refer to the individuals that are authorized to conduct it, and there are three different categories, and then we talk about the form used, etc. I believe in there, that's the legal language, but I think you're interested in the meat and potatoes, the actual what is required. There are individuals, I don't want to take anything away from the executive, the director of the OSAA, but I think the medical personnel behind me will come forward and answer your question very directly, Chair Starr, Senator Gordley.
Further questions? Complete your testimony, or you?
If I fail to introduce myself, I'm Wes Hettinger from the Oregon School Activities Association, director of the association. And I guess out of all that we've talked about today, and I'll make it real short because I know Peter said most everything that can be said about it, but I think our goal is to save life. Our goal is to make kids safe and be able to participate in a safe environment. And I think the history of it's important, which the bill speaks for the form, and the physical is important, and all those things lead to, I think, a better, safer place. And I would like to introduce my assistant, Tom Welter, who will make a few comments, and then he will introduce some of these doctors that are here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Starr, and members of the Senate Education Committee. The OSA is a member of a national organization called the National Federation of State High School Associations. There is an OSA basically in all 50 states plus the District of Columbia, so there are 51 groups such as ourselves.
You need to put your name on the record, too.
I'm Tom Welter. I'm an assistant director with the Oregon School Activities Association.
Thank you.
We coordinate, for example, one of the questions that Senator Hartung brought up about catastrophic football injuries that occurred. We just returned from a meeting where representatives of all 50 states annually review all of the football rules at the high school level. We all follow the same rule book, and we are constantly reviewing those rules, both in terms of making rule changes and in making equipment changes to try to ensure that the activities that we're offering our student athletes are as safe as they can possibly be, knowing full well that we will never totally eliminate the risk factor involved in any of our activities. Before you, I have handed out a member or a roster of the Medical Aspects of Sports Committee. That's a committee of doctors and trainers that we meet with four times a year. If you know, it's a statewide organization. We have doctors, family doctors from Roseburg and Hermiston. We have orthopedic doctors. We have specialists in various areas. But we confer with this group on a regular basis to try to ensure that the activities and the procedures that we have in our organization are in the best interest of the health and safety of the students that we serve. The proposed recommended physical exam form, which are the next three pages of the handout, are a result of the work of the members of this committee. And certainly as they testify this afternoon, I think they will speak to what the form includes and why it includes what it does. Certainly the purpose of a pre-participation physical exam is to detect any pre-existing condition in any student that might prevent either an unforeseen injury or death due to their participation. If we can detect that ahead of time, we can either prevent them from participating or treat them so that they can participate safely. And certainly our goal, again, is to maximize the student-athlete sport experience in a healthy and safe environment that we possibly can. The National Federation that I spoke about has a Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. They instituted that approximately 5 years ago, and the first speaker that we have from our medical community this afternoon is Dr. Thad C. Stanford from here in Salem. He's been the chair of our Medical Aspects of Sports Committee for over 20 years. He is also currently the chairman of the National Federation Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. So he chairs the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee for all 50 states, and he is here this afternoon to speak to you about the proposed legislation from his perspective. Also, we have coming with him to the podium Dr. Tom Van Veen, who is a family practice physician in Staten. So I would like to turn the mic over to them at this time.
Thank you. Please come forward.
They grow long and tall and skinny, and
Now, Senator Starr and members of the committee, my name is Thad Stanford. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I live here in Salem, Oregon. A couple of things I'd like to touch base on before I start. I won't be very long. The physical exam has been part of the athletic program here in Oregon for a long time. We have talked about the cost. It isn't something new, even though it has not been required. Most districts have done it, and so that cost has always been there. In many districts in this state, the exams are done gratis or for very little money. I do believe it's incumbent upon the medical profession to encourage more of this and to work on keeping the costs of these exams down. They are important. One of the reasons we are suggesting every other year is that very reason. You will hear about the form. It's very detailed. It's a state-of-the-art form. It's better than the one the National Federation has put together. With a very good physical, every 2 years should be enough, as long as we recognize that something can happen to a young person in the interim, and that can be looked into. Also, we have some communities where, frankly, there just aren't enough doctors to be doing physicals on all the kids every year. And we feel that every other year works very well. So I think that question is a reasonable one. The cost factor is important, and we have done a lot on that over the years, and we certainly intend to do more. The form, as I say, is an excellent form. Particularly the history, and that history will often recognize conditions that need to be looked into further so that young people don't have catastrophes. As regards other catastrophes, and we've talked a little bit about the recent ones, those were ones that may or may not have been preventable. The National Federation is basically a rules-making organization, and we use health information in order to make the rules. There have been some significant rules made in the past. For football, below the waist blocking has saved thousands and thousands of knees, the fact that that's illegal. Using the head and neck in football, we preach it all the time. It's against the rules. It's a hard rule to enforce sometimes, but we know that that helps. The catastrophic injury survey out of North Carolina, Dr. Fred Mueller, whom I spoke to this morning, because he just sent me another preliminary report for a quarter of 1999, is very important in rules making. We do have a problem with reporting, because we're quite sure that a lot of these injuries and these catastrophes are underreported. But we know, and Dr. Mueller told me today, that the number of what we call indirect catastrophes, and these are the collapses. These are not the head-to-head injuries. These are the heart and the heat-related injuries, the latter of which are very preventable. But the number is gradually going up. It's particularly concerning in basketball. But it's happening, of course, in all sports. We feel we can prevent some of these, and you'll hear more from our other doctors about why and how it would be done. I would urge this bill be passed. I do believe we can do this in a safe way, in a way to make it cost-effective and yet prevent some of these tragedies that we all are so concerned about.
Senator Farriola.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question. I think I may already know the answer, but I'd like to get a reality check from the doctor, if that's possible. In many of our rural communities, there are other members of the medical continuum that are not medical doctors who provide initial screening for releases for physical sports. And for instance, in John Day, we have a very nice fellow who happens to be a chiropractic doctor who does screenings for the releases necessary for sports. The bill clearly specifies the practitioners that would be allowed to do these screenings, and they are physicians, physicians' assistants, and nurses. Under the bill, it would be impossible for this particular person who volunteers his time and does these screenings, and if this particular healthcare practitioner finds a problem that would indicate a more thorough examination, he refers to the family practice doctor in the community to do a further investigation. But unless he does find any of those things, the school districts have accepted his physical examination. And I was wondering if the doctor could give me an opinion about how a situation like that would play out in some of the rural communities where there may be only one doctor in the community. For Christmas Valley, for instance, has a clinic that only has a practitioner in it a couple of days a week. Screening is just exactly that. It's screening for pulmonary function and good articulation of joints and overall health. It is not really a medical examination. So I guess I would like to get the doctor's opinion about whether or not that practice of a non-medical doctor doing these examinations would still be possible under the bill.
Many years ago, the State Department of Education, in their suggested guidelines, specified MDDO as people who would do the physical exam, and it's the National Federation's position. The nurse practitioners, I think, by statute in Oregon, can do these exams. Certainly the physician's assistant, under the supervision of the practitioner, which is the law in Oregon, can do these exams as long as there's appropriate supervision. It's the general feeling that the naturopath and the chiropractor have not had sufficient cardiopulmonary, internal medicine, diabetes, asthma, those types of problems that can arise and be a real difficulty for a young athlete. That's what's behind that particular part of the bill, Senator.
I'm certain that no parent would want to see any child certified that isn't healthy to play sports, and those few incidents where we have a cardiac arrest or pulmonary distress during practice or a game are tragedies, and we certainly want to avoid those things. I'm just looking at the places where we have very thin core of medical practitioners in some communities and wondering how those folks would get their kids certified when they have found a way to get at least initial screenings done by volunteers And I'm not even sure that, from what the doctor said, that that's currently allowable under Oregon statute. I just know that it happened.
Mr. Chair. Senator Fisher.
Yeah, I don't have any statistics here, seen any statistics concerning just how many of these sad occurrences happen in our state over, say, a period of 5 years or 10 years, and just wondering how many, and if so, how many of those is it in reality could have been detected enough in advance to benefit by this, and I'm primarily speaking of maybe an aneurysm or some type of a heart condition or something that happens, and I go back in my own experience when I was just a kid in grade school. The neighboring high school had a boxing program, and a couple of the kids were just boxing intramural, not even in a interscholastic program, and they were 13 years old, and one of them hit the other one in the head, and it was, they had the helmet on even, and he just dropped over basically dead on the spot, and it turned out he had an aneurysm that he could have probably have bumped his head on the corner of a door or any other thing through and done it just the same. Another situation, a friend of mine had was under a doctor's care for exercise, and he had lost some weight, he got a little overweight, and he went into the doctor on Friday, and the doctor said, looked him over, and he said, you probably added 15, 16 years to your life by what you're doing here. The next Tuesday, he dropped dead of a massive heart attack exercising under the doctor's orders. Obviously, the doctor isn't infallible. You can't dissect a person and take them apart, you know, to check every possible thing, and I'm just curious as to how many the deaths and serious injuries maybe that have happened could have actually have been predicted and maybe affected by.
We have had some deaths, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to opt out. I'm an orthopedist. We don't know a whole lot. We have people back here who do pediatric cardiologists and those kinds of things. There's no question that your point's well taken. Some things will not show up. But some will, and I can't give you numbers, Senator, I'm sorry, but possibly somebody can. Mm-hmm. No more questions? Thank you. Dr. Van Veen?
Senator Starr and members of the Senate Education Committee, my name is Dr. Tom Van Veen, and I'm a family practitioner in the state. I've been a member of this committee for about 30 years. Just a little brief overview of the history. When I first came to Staten, I was given a pile of cards that were to be used as far as history and physical examination. I have had those passed out to you, and you might take a look at them. Very rudimentary examination. Recently, well, in last August, a parent or a student bought one of these cards, and then I left the name on that to illustrate the point that they're still in existence. And if you sort of want to look at the top, yes, it was the OSAA examination and permit card. If you will notice, there's no statements there regarding history other than that they have previous knee injuries. At the top of the list seems to be the most important, is there a hernia? Today, that's not even a big part of the examination, and we allow kids to play that have hernias. Do they have a pulmonary lesion? That's pretty generic. I guess, does that mean that they breathe? Are they a good physical subject? That's self-explanatory. Blood pressure, yes or no, I guess, do they have a blood pressure or not? Is their nose deformed? as I mentioned, the knee was previously injured, and the hearing, that's supposed to be heart, is it normal or a murmur? Well, our new guidelines, for example, suggest a much more sophisticated cardiac examination besides 14 points that we ask for or cover in our exam for cardiovascular disease. This form is obviously came out before Title IX because as I pronounce him fit, I guess we didn't examine girls back in those days. We still see this form floating around, and I get perhaps 3 or 4 of these a year, and I go back to the schools and I ask them, we have a new form, would you be interested in it? But these forms still come back. I believe about 1974, Ted, a new form was instituted. Again, this doesn't deal very specifically with cardiovascular disease. It's very high on immunizations, as you can see, that's a large part of the assessment. And that, of course, now has been taken care of by different statutes. You have copies of the examination, history and physical examination now that we are proposing. And as you may see, can see that it's far more comprehensive. For that reason, I encourage you to adopt this physical examination and also the bill that is before you. Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you very much. I'm going to invite Representative Backlund come forward. Representative, you had a very high recommendation from Senator, and we're expecting great things of your testimony here.
Senator, you're putting some pressure on me, but I'll do the best I can. For the record, I am Representative Vic Backlund, and I am one of the chief sponsors of this bill. I was a high school coach for 37 years, actually, and while baseball was my specialty, I coached football for many years as well as basketball, and I certainly support the idea of extracurricular athletics, extracurricular activities, particularly athletics. And I thought about this bill when I heard about it, and I think it's a really good thing that we do this. I think that any athlete participating in sports should be required to have a physical exam at least as often as this bill mandates. Many sports require, as you know, strenuous physical activity and endurance, and these students should be regularly examined by a licensed physician to ensure that there are no physical disabilities or liabilities or problems that might endanger health. And certainly we've all heard of, well, tragic examples of student athletes who have experienced sudden medical emergencies and while participating in either practices or games. And my thought was at the time, I've witnessed some, that maybe these emergencies might have been prevented with more regular physical examinations. I know that can't maybe guarantee detection of medical problems, but we had certainly come a lot closer, I think, and I think it's well worth it to take the steps that Senate Bill 160 asks. So I think that would be my testimony, and I don't know if Senator Courtney would approve or not, but I think I'm finished with my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Senator Fisher?
I notice, Representative Backlund, I notice that this refers to extracurricular activities. How does that relate to maybe intramural and other things, PE, that takes place during the school day?
Chair Starr and Senator Fisher, my view of this bill as it pertains to athletics. And intramural activities fall within a different scope, I think, of school activities.
Well, Mr. Chair, I want to follow up. How do the difference exists, for instance, say in basketball, if you had a basketball league amongst the school and the whole high school was participating in it, in a PE situation, how would they be not exercising basically as strenuously, maybe as a regular basketball team, or maybe subject to the same type of injuries, albeit they may not be in the training programs and things like that. By the same token, not being in training, they probably aren't as capable of avoiding situations maybe that somebody was more skilled would be able to avoid or be in better shape to take that kind of contact. So you would say that only the teams that would be taken away for in extracurricular activities that would be competing against other schools would be the only ones checked and not just the regular run of the school kids if they were playing in the same similar game.
Chair Starr and Senator Fisher, that's my take on this. Extracurricular athletics or interscholastic athletics have regular practices. They have rigorous conditioning activities. They probably practice an hour and a half to 2.5 hours. They do far more in the way of the strenuous activities than, say, a physical education PE class, although there are certainly activities that are strenuous there too, and intramural activities certainly could be strenuous as well. But the scope of our bill applies to into interscholastic athletics.
One more follow-up. Senator Fisher, do you know whether there have been deaths in intramural or non-extracurricular activities?
Senator Starr and Senator Fisher, my experience has been we've not had any deaths in a physical education class or intramural activities in my 37 years. However, we have had some deaths in interscholastic activities, football in particular. This one young man, it happened to him at McNary High School some years ago, and he had been a wrestler, he had been a football player, but the medical exam at that time was not very in-depth, and nobody picked up that he had this heart condition. And of course, you read in various publications about deaths from high school, two high school athletes across the country. And fairly recently, we had a situation in Beaverton where an outstanding football player died unexpectedly. And you wonder if maybe in a medical exam in some depth would have picked that up. And this kid was an all-stater, and he was headed for a college Division I scholarship, an outstanding athlete. And you don't know that it would have, their medical exam would have picked that up, but I guess my thought is that it's something that, that we could do and that it would be helpful.
Mr. Chair, one more. Follow up. Thank you. Indulge me. Do you know if the incident you mentioned in Beaverton, had there not been a physical examination recently, or one of very minor consequence or not very in-depth?
Chair Starr and Senator Fisher, no, I don't know the details on that particular incident. Most school districts have some kind of requirement for physical examinations. I know Salem-Keizer does, but it's up to the individual school district. I would presume that the Beaverton School District, which is one of our largest in Oregon, would have requirements. I don't know that it would be as stringent as this, one exam every other year. Salem-Keizer's is not that rigorous. Salem-Keizer's is typically one exam every 3 years. But it's not, it's something that each individual school district decides, and maybe some kids might slip through the cracks, so to speak, if there were not some more stringent rules.
Senator Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just on the first point on Senator Fisher's question, I am aware that the student at Beaverton had a physical, and I don't know if it was 2 or 3 years, but I do know that he had received a physical examination prior to the circumstance. Representative Backman, one of the issues that we're wrestling, or a few of us were wrestling with on this issue, because there seemed to be uniformity that physical examination is a wise and needed is the economic impact, especially on those who are struggling or economically challenged. and their ability, and maybe because of your vast experience working with some of these kids, you'd better be able to, that certainly is my concern, is that we mandate this to local schools, though there's incredible fundraising efforts that are put together that we just simply can't raise enough money privately to meet the need, and so we further put up another barrier to a kid that would really benefit from being engaged in an athletic activity. They would be just further, another barrier would be erected, and that their opportunity to participate would be diminished.
Chair Starr, Senator Deckard, you raise a good point. My experience reminds me, though, that when you have young men and women who may come from a family who are economically disadvantaged, let's say, the school district waives the pay-for-play provision. Many school districts now require that a student pay a certain amount of money in order to play high school athletics. Those fees would be waived. Also, through private fundraisers, through help of boosters clubs, that sort of thing, who traditionally have not had a great deal of money have always been able to play. Somehow it would be a situation where no kid would be denied the opportunity to play because she didn't have money. I could only guess that this would pertain here as well, if there was not money in a regular budget. But that's a guess, but I'm thinking that the interest in athletics is so great in many communities that this problem that you discuss, and it's a very valid one, could be dealt with.
So, Mr. Chair, just a quick follow-up. From your experience, are there students out there that might see the price tag that it rises to play volleyball, see the price tag at $225, and never access a waiver, and might not participate?
Senator Starr, Senator Deckard, I suppose that could be the case, but in my experience with high school athletics, most kids have been playing athletics for some period of time, and by the time they get to high school, they're pretty committed to it, and they understand pretty much the financial obligations. Their parents understand the financial commitments that are necessary, and so I think that they have been able to play. Somehow a way has been found that they would not be denied access to playing the athletics if they want to play.
Okay. Further questions?
Thank you very much, Representative Backlund. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak this now.
Senator Starr and members of the committee, Tom Welter with the OSA again. Before I introduce our next two doctors, I want to maybe clarify one of the questions that was previously asked about in numbers of fatalities that we had in recent years. During the 1999-2000 school year, which is the same year that the Beaverton football player, who was a senior, died, we also had two other fatalities in our schools. We had a senior football player at Lapine High School who was running onto the field prior to a game and passed out during pregame warm-ups and passed away a few days later. We had a ninth grade track athlete at Dufour High School who was waiting for track practice to start one afternoon and felt dizzy, passed out, and later passed away in the hospital. And it's certainly, and the next two physicians will speak to this, it's certainly the feeling of our medical community that those pre-existing conditions certainly, hopefully, would have been detected using the form that we are recommending through this legislation.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher, could I ask you those questions? Had those students had physicals?
I do not know the answer to that. It's up to each individual district now, and I don't know whether they had a physical exam, and if so, how recently.
How can we find that out?
I can try to contact the schools.
I see this, Mr. Chair, I see this as a potential valuable thing, but I also want to know before I pass something like this what the potential is out there really to catch something like this, whether it could be caught in it, even as extensive an exam has been proposed here, let alone the previous lesser in-depth exam. And also, I'd like to know if the last time, you know, before this, these happenings, that somebody had an exam. Because they're having exams and they're not catching it, and it wasn't something it could catch. You know, it's pretty hard to put something like this into effect for nothing. And if they're having exams and not doing a good job, then we definitely need to sit down and make sure that those exams are of a better nature. And so I really wish that there was some way that we could get this information as soon as possible to deal with this, because it would kind of looks to me like shooting in the dark.
Senator Starr, Senator Fisher, would it be helpful if I tried to collect that information and get it to Chairman Starr?
Sure.
We'd appreciate that, but I think to some extent at least the doctors that you're going to be calling forward may be able to help us with understanding of how effective the new exam might be, and that may want to answer the question for us.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. David Son, who is a pediatric cardiologist from Oregon Health Science University, and also Dr. Lynn Goldberg, who is a sports medicine physician at OHSU and also a member of the U.S. Olympic Sports Medicine Committee.
I'll go first. I'm David's doctor.
All right. For the record.
My name is Lynn Goldberg. I'm a professor of medicine at the Oregon Health Sciences University, and I'm the chief of the Division of Health Promotion and Sports Medicine. I'm a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine. I've worked in the area of exercise physiology, sport, and adolescent health for the last 17 years. I'm one of 15 expert panelists for Safe and Drug-Free Schools, a crew chief for the United States Olympic Committee. I was a past member of the former House Speaker Lynn Lundquist Council for Youth Abuse of Drugs, and I've been a special consultant to the United States Department of Health and Human Services. I've authored a couple of textbooks on exercise and also a textbook on physical examination. I'm a principal investigator of the ATLAS program, which is a health promotion and drug prevention program for male athletes, and co-principal investigator of the Athena program, which is designed to reduce eating disorders and drug use among adolescent female athletes. I speak in favor of this bill because the period of adolescence brings forth dynamic physical and emotional changes. And we're not just talking about catastrophic events. We're talking about the long-term health benefits for the child. Now the pre-participation exam gives the student one opportunity to have an illness and injury detected while not precluding participation in sport, still require some detection, attention, and treatment. For the vast majority of children and adolescents, the pre-participation exam is the only exam they will receive. The exam documents their eligibility, collects medical data for emergency, and can identify risks among athletes. They don't just include those front-page stories of catastrophic events. They include diabetes and other metabolic disorders. My son had Addison's disease that was detected, thankfully, that could have saved his life, and did. Overuse energy injuries, joint instability, asthma, medications that are used that can interfere with and complicate stress during exercise, and the important female athlete triad, which includes disordered eating practices, amenorrhea, and irreversible osteoporosis that will not occur right now. You may not see this during their high school career, but will have an enormous impact on the rest of their health as long as they live. We're just not talking about front page, give me the deaths and why they died. We're talking about the long-term health of these young athletes.
Mr. Chair. Senator Fisher, I recognize this, but do these exams that were being shown here detect all what you're saying?
Absolutely. Male athletes, as far as substance abuse, male and female athletes have the same amount of illicit drug use as non-athletes. However, male and female athletes use a lot more performance-enhancing drugs. On top of that, male athletes have an added risk of more alcohol use, more binge drinking, and more drinking and driving. Those can be detected by a careful examination of the history and talking to the student. They don't have any other interaction with physicians that can do this. So what this does is the physical examination allows potential identification and modification of these risks in a healthier sport environment. So I'm in favor of every other year. And how tragic it would be if our poorest children are the ones that have to suffer because there is no mandatory physical examination on a regular basis for these people who put themselves at greater risk because they're putting their body at greater physiologic risk when they participate or when they train.
Questions? Very important testimony. Senator Farioli.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just thinking about Long Creek, Oregon. Wonderful little community. Great kid-centered town. About 100 students in K through 12 schools. I don't think they have a resident physician in Long Creek. Bayville, great little town. Even for John Day. They got lost a lot, Mr. Chairman. They need a lot of places for them. I'm not aware of a resident physician in Bayville, although there's a high school there. Spray. Wonderful community. Have an annual rodeo. If you ever get out there, I'll make sure you take an opportunity to look into the Spray. I've got a good little high school there. I'm not sure there's a resident physician there. And I'm not sure that there's a medical community depth on the bench, if you'll excuse the sports expression, Mr. Chairman, that would allow us to do annual physicals for every student that wants to participate in sports, although I think it's an excellent idea. I guess I'm just wondering, how will the rural medical community cope with having to do certifications for every student athlete in every school where there are no resident physicians?
Senator Farioli mentioned a yearly examination. This is not a yearly exam, it's a bi-yearly exam, so it's every 2 years.
Okay.
I think that there are rural health clinics, OHSU, has rural centers around the state. Kids could be, like they're transported from where these individuals participate in their games. Where do they play their interscholastic sports, and how far do they travel to play their games?
Mr. Chairman, sometimes 3 to 6 hours.
That's right. Likewise, they can also travel to get a physical examination. If they're going to put themselves at risk while they're participating in sports, traveling 3 to 6 hours, you're asking them to then forego a physical examination that could potentially be life-saving or potentially save long-term injury and improve their health, to forego that so they can have the sports experience. I think that the schools have enough wherewithal that they would be able to travel to a local clinic, whether it be an hour or 2 hours away, to have the whole team. We're talking about very small teams, and they could do the whole team within a couple of hours with a couple of doctors being there.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I guess I wasn't really thinking about the burden for the student-athlete or the assurances that parents would receive that their student-athletes are in good physical condition. I'm more worried about the pressure on the healthcare continuum in rural communities, where people sometimes travel hours to get an appointment or wait weeks. And I guess the other thing is, and this is more a committee question, could this in any sense be considered a mandate that we are sending to the school districts that they could consider to be an unfunded mandate that the state's created? So I guess the question is not, two questions. I'm not worried about the idea. I think the idea is a wonderful idea. I'm worried about the pressure on the rural medical community to do these biannual certifications. And I guess I'm asking, could this be considered an unfunded mandate? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Just to have one more comment, those children in rural communities have more substance abuse, more problems with that type of behavior, and athletes have more of that problem than other kids do, even in the inner city. So it would be especially important for some of those kids to have that identified and addressed early.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Doctor?
Senator Starr, Senators, my name is David Son. I'm a pediatric cardiologist. I'm certified in pediatrics as well as in congenital heart disease and heart disease in children. I'm a professor of pediatrics, radiology, and OBGYN at OHSU. I've spent my life taking care of children with known heart disease and trying to answer the questions their families have about what kind of supports those kids can do and what they can't. My goal has always been to try and get them, give them the right advice so that they can participate as much as they can in a way that doesn't bring them at risk. And that's what we're really dealing with. We're trying to deal with risk. How do we make sports safe for these children? We put enough pressure on them to get scholarships. We scream and yell on them when they make a mistake, but we should be able to do what's necessary to make sure that we're not sending them out into a situation of jeopardy. And that's a mandate that we owe these kids, just as we owe them health care. We owe every child in this state health care that should require them being seen and talked to by a medical practitioner or somebody trained to detect risk. I'm also the one that gets called when somebody wants to ask a question about the kind of heart disease a child has been found to have when he's died suddenly. And I've had to deal with trying to understand some of those kids who'd never had good care, and others who may have had care but didn't go back, and then they forgot what they were told, or the pressure was on them to play football, even if they'd been known to have a heart problem. So it's not just the identification, it's really the certification process that a physician goes through when he signs a document that lets a youngster go out there and play competitive interscholastic athletics. And that's what we're talking about. A certification that says, I have performed a satisfactory examination on this youngster, and I certify this youngster as having minimal risk. And that requires a level of investigation that's been defined in the handouts that you have by the American Heart Association, in conjunction with the American Medical Association, a number of national organizations, in the paper that's been given to you by Avnerov from Circulation. There's a long discussion of what the causes of risk are, what the relative worth and expense is of a number of non-invasive tests like EKGs or echocardiograms, and the conclusion is that the most suitable and most practical attempt to detect risk is a comprehensive physical examination and a comprehensive history, because many of these things run in families. You talk to a youngster and he says, oh yeah, my father's brother dropped dead on the football field, and didn't my great-grandfather. Family histories are important in some of these abnormalities. Cardiomyopathy is familial. Certain types of arrhythmias are familial. Certain types of valvular disease is familial. And Marfan syndrome is inherited and familial. The form that we've developed with OSAA, and Thomas Van Veen and Lynn Goldberg and the rest of the committee spent a lot of time and effort on that, was designed to satisfy the requirements of the documents suggested by the American Heart Association, to comprehensively evaluate the cardiovascular system and the skeletal system, and to comprehensively talk to the youngster and develop a family history that the youngster has to take home and have signed by his parents to show that they have also acknowledged that they have been asked the questions on that form. And we think that that's a way of the family, if there is a family, taking responsibility for the youngster's participation in sports. And what we're really trying to do is do the best job we can. It may be the only chance these kids have of having somebody ask questions about their health, or somebody ask their family anything about them. And if we're going to put them under the burden and or the thrill of interscholastic athletics, we should attempt to minimize risk. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much. Questions? I appreciate...
Mr. Chair,
Senator Fisher, I'm
really curious, and I think we've got a couple of experts up here, that I have heard a wide category of things that can be detected, stuff by this. I might put the problem that I kind of share with my friend Senator Farioli, having come from a very rural area and also representing some extremely rural area, about the availability and the and so forth, and would kind of like to throw out back to you, I'm guessing that we're dealing here with two gentlemen that have far more training than any of our basic rural doctors or even some fairly urban situations that we have around the state, and this business of traveling 3 to 6 hours, you know, it sounds good, but how much are you willing to travel 3 to 6 hours to see all these people? I mean, if we put a mandate on you to go around.
Senator Fisher, our department has people out almost 3.5 days a week doing rural clinics.
I understand
heart screening.
Because we took quite a extensive rural tour with our Health and Human Services Committee, joint committee here during the interim, and I'm quite aware of exactly what my colleague over here is talking about, and I do know that OSHU is doing a remarkable work around the state, and I applaud you for that, but it's not a cure-all of all the problems we have in the rural areas. But by the same token, I'm wanting to know some type of amount of things that you can stop, that you can catch in advance somewhere. We have to be able to put some kind of a basic potential numbers with this thing. You mentioned the 3 deaths, but I'm still not hearing what kind of an exam did they have, how soon did they have the exam before the accident, that kind of thing.
Senator Fisher, I wasn't speaking just to deaths. I was talking about...
I understand.
Now, just to answer a couple of points, I travel personally 4 to 6 hours every week to do our research in rural communities. That includes McKinsey High School, that includes Oak Ridge High School, a number of high schools around the state that we go to rurally, just our division doing our research. We're talking about several physicians traveling every week 4 to 6 hours to these places. These small schools you speak of have small numbers of participants. They're traveling every week 3 to 6 hours in buses, going to these games for the enjoyment of parents, families of these school children. You see, school children are put out there to participate. They likewise could travel to other clinics once every 2 years when these kids are traveling every week that same distance to get a physical examination to ensure their health. And that's what we're asking for.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I understand your theories, and I understand the possibilities and availabilities and things, but what I want to know is, what can you actually do with this in numbers of broken bones saved, of knee joints not torn, whatever the case might be? What is your ratio of finding things by giving exams and the people that you call out of sports activities and that kind of thing? Under the regular situation, we don't have any statistics, we don't have anything other than a nice program, which I agree with you 100%. It would be a very nice thing to have.
The most common cause of death of a young athlete, just to go to the front page story, is a disease called idiopathic hypertrophic subaortic stenosis. It's a problem with the muscle of the heart and the outflow of blood to the rest of the body. It causes a little more than 50% of the death. Most of those can be detected. Most of those can be detected by a routine physical examination by someone who can listen to a heart. You mentioned, Senator Farioli mentioned a chiropractor. Well, chiropractors are not trained in auscultation of the cardiovascular system. Finding that number one cause of death in young athletes can be done with just a simple stethoscope placed on the heart, listening to the heart. So if you want to talk about that could literally save half of the cardiovascular deaths by just simple auscultation of the heart. About fractures and those kinds of things, it all depends on the type of sport and individuals involved in. But certainly a person that's playing with an unstable joint, that can be, you can examine within seconds of the individual by having them walk like a duck, looking at their ankles, their knees, and their hips. By just doing that, you can tell if there's instability there. That can then send the person for rehabilitation or active, and sort of an active rehab before they participate in sports again. Talking about sports medicine that's come a long way in the last 50 years, that we can get people back now participating at full bore that their career was ended just 10 or 15 years ago. Well, there's a lot of things you can do to identify these things, and there's no database that says, well, how many are you going to save and how many are you going to do? All I can tell you is about the catastrophic illnesses that you can prevent by the history that Dr. Son mentioned or by just listening to the heart.
Senator Fisher, Senator Starr.
Just one, you know, you're going around what I'm seeing here. I'm trying to find something. When you've got this bad joint and it gets knocked out and you go and check on it, have they had a physical prior to that? If they haven't, then obviously you got a chance to have worked in that arena. If they've just had a physical that should have showed it up and it didn't, then is the doctor not doing his job, the person that's doing the physical? Are they not paying attention to what's available to them out there? How many going back in the process of, I'm going to call it autopsy for the want of a better word. Obviously, it's not an autopsy on somebody that's living, but when you go back and find this knee joint that got blown or something like that and there was a problem, had they had the doc, could that have been saved if they had? How many of those things are we dealing with in even an estimate there?
There's no repository of that information. No one keeps that. That's all personal medical history. So you're not going to find that in the literature to find out how many had a physical examination and blew their joint out because it was unstable, because you wouldn't have an examination to say it was unstable. So that's, you're asking a question that can't be answered.
Mr. Chair, then what good is the research that you're going on? As you mentioned, you're traveling with fleets of doctors. Aren't you checking up on people that have accidents and why they did and if they, you know, shouldn't have had, or if it could have been avoided by a check? I mean, it doesn't seem like that's so out of reason that a person would be doing this. Is a kid dying under a situation that you're saying, is no one going back and saying, hey, didn't he have a physical exam recently? How could the doctor miss something like this? If something like that comes on in a six-month period of time without warning, how could a doctor 2 years before or a year before pick it up if it's something that can just happen? And if it is, you know, we're dealing here with a mandate to schools to keep a whole bunch of records and all kinds of things out here, and then some enforcement process if they get out of line and all this kind of stuff. And to put that kind of a thing out, you know, I've got to have some kind of assurance that that it actually is going to cut down and make some kind of a difference in some of these things that we're doing. If it isn't, if we're going to continue to have these things pop up on us, then we're not gaining much by going through and doing the law.
I just would like to comment on what the concept of a screening test is, because a screening test is part of a process. The American Heart Association article would point out that using a combination of a physical and history as the screening test followed by appropriate testing, probably 88% of the forms of heart disease that are responsible for sudden death are detectable. That doesn't mean that you'll wipe out sudden death, but it means you have a chance of detecting it. And the process, regardless of where somebody lives, requires that the physician, in good diligence, perform a history and physical, and then he needs to certify that he's done that. And if there's something in that that's abnormal, he can't certify that youngster for athletics until further testing is obtained. And there are mechanisms within the healthcare system to make sure that that further testing is done by somebody who's qualified. It's not inexpensive. It may require travel, athletic potential is the only way of making a diagnosis. As Dr. Goldberg said, a physician or a nurse practitioner hearing an abnormal heart sound doesn't make the diagnosis of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, but he orders a test or orders a consultation that makes that diagnosis.
I understand, Mr. Chair, the thing that I guess bothers me, we're weeding out a lot of people already through the mediums that we have available to us. I know of athletes currently and in the past that have gotten weeded out and haven't been able to participate because they have gotten things caught under the system we have now. What I'm saying is, how many more can we catch this way? What potential do we have of actually, for what we're asking people to do out in the real world, what potential do we have of making it that much safer, or saving 100 of this or 50 of that or one or two of deaths, which obviously if we have three, we can save one or two. That's a great improvement. But I'm not hearing things that's telling me exactly that we're going to be able to do that with all of this paperwork.
Excuse me. I've heard a number of things here, and as the chair, I'm going to suggest that we go on and hear the remaining witnesses. I've heard testimony that we are approving with this bill a standard physical exam form that is better than what has been in use in practice, that it will provide considerable improvement in risk assessment for those athletes, that we will be able to help them not only life-threatening but life-impairing type of things. We will not be moving this bill today. There will be further opportunity for Senator Fisher and others to have input. But unless there's specific questions of these gentlemen, I'd like to move on and hear the other witnesses, Senator Farioli and Senator Gordley.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd be inclined to support this bill. I have some questions about whether or not a physician who did not do a urinalysis would have incurred liability if the student athlete has a kidney failure later. I have questions about whether or not the Office of Rural Health would have a recommendation or would refer me to physicians in the field to ask whether or not they feel they have the capacity to do the tests. We're facing loss of a healthcare clinic in Fossil. The management staff's been cut 10% in Baker County. The hospital at Hefner is at risk for financial collapse. The hospital in Hood River, as a matter of fact, is having financial difficulties. So the whole healthcare continuum in rural Oregon is under extreme stress, and I think this is a great thing to do. I wish we could screen actually more in depth every student in the system. But I worry about what we're trying to do in terms of the capability of the rural healthcare system to respond to the need. If we make it mandatory, then I think they're going to end up looking at whether or not school districts participate in sports. This is costly to physicians to do this test. It may not be costly in an urban area where there's a lot of physicians and a lot of students and a lot of time. But to have a doctor go to a school and do all of the athletes for baseball, football, soccer, whatever else they have, or to have all those students show up at somebody's office for a two-day screen, a day screening, I don't know, it seems to me to be a question I'd like to have physicians from my rural communities answer for me personally. But I'm inclined to support the bill if I get affirmatives from those physicians.
If I could make one comment, Senator Farioli, a lot of those kids playing football and baseball are the same kid. They play on multiple teams. In many of the rural communities,
especially in rural communities,
they're recruited. They're playing on three teams. I think they're challenging their bodies in different ways. So you're really not talking about that many children. You're talking about in the exam being every 2 years. I think is just something that adds a little more protection. You know, Children First for Oregon has given Oregon D's and F's for the health teams. I think it's about time we turn that around.
Senator Farrell, I don't think any of us are proud of what's going on in our healthcare system. We're not proud that we offer our people, especially our children, the quality of healthcare that they need. I think the healthcare in the United States in the era of managed care is worse than it was 10 years ago, and physicians in hospitals, the whole medical community is under stress. Everybody just does the best they can. If it is made clear that screening for risks of sudden death and other injuries is important to the community, physicians will understand that part of their time is mandated to perform that function. That's how they make those kinds of decisions.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Mr. Chair, I did have a question.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I just would like to kind of reflect back what I've heard. I'm one who's maybe kind of fast forward and vote on the bill, but I understand, you know, how the process works and that there's still some seasoning that needs to take place. And others of my colleagues have good questions, great questions that also need to be answered. But with that said, I'm hearing this issue as a student safety / public health issue. And so I'm setting the issue of fees aside, and I'm setting aside the issue of inequities in health care and access to health care. That's all real in many of our communities. But I'm kind of putting that over here. And I'm saying, and I'm recognizing that what we're being asked to do is take an action to make public policy that places the highest value on student safety by requiring exams for all students who play sports. That's what we're being asked to do. And I would just take it a step further, not to sound preachy, but if we believe that children's lives are sacred and valuable, then as adults, that's the action that we should take to protect the students, to protect the children. And knowing something about the heart of the senator from Salem, Senator Courtney, who loves children, loves student sports, is a coach himself, I just commend him on bringing the idea forward. It's a good idea. It's a great idea. And I hope when we come back to talk about the issue that we focus in on the public policy issue that we're being asked to take.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mike, Megan, Jim Anderson, and Dr. James Lace.
Senator Starr and Senate Education Committee. My name is Mike McGinn. I'm a certified athletic administrator and athletic director at McNary High School. I'm also on the executive board of the Oregon Athletic Directors Association. And I'd like to just give a few comments on support of this bill. Just to give you a perspective of what it's like in the public schools, and McNary is a 4A school here in Salem-Keizer, roughly 1,700 students. I particularly like the extensive form that I've seen. In the past, we've had a goldenrod form that's not very thorough. We've had some instances of doctors even signing that off without even seeing the student athlete, and doing so because they just can't fit them in their normal schedule. We do have some fees, and with respect to Senator Descartes, our fees aren't quite as high as Beaverton. In fact, we've been at $50 for quite a few years, and we just raised them $15. To help pay for an extensive athletic training program that we have in our school district right now. And the reason I think that we need these every 2 years is because we get a medical history on these kids every 2 years. Before, it was 7th grade and 11th grade they'd get a physical. A lot of things happen to these individuals between 7th and 11th grade, and I'll use myself as an example. I was a 4'11", 85-pound ninth grader coming into high school, and I graduated 6'2", 185 pounds. So luckily, I've broken up bones, and I had a physical just about every year probably going through high school. But that doesn't happen a lot in our student-athletes. Our school district recognized that fact and have changed our policy now that we have 7th grade and 9th grade. And as far as bookkeeping is concerned, that's my responsibility, and we track these kids pretty well. And most of the parents are very adamant about making sure those physicals are always happening. We also have to have insurance. And many of our students cannot afford this, we have a series of ways that we can pay for that. For example, we have an outstanding volunteer group of doctors in this community that put on clinics. They do charge for them for physicals. And with that money that they make, they put right back into our program for athletic trainers. There have been occasions where we've given scholarships, and we've happened to have many types of boosters that do contribute to that, as well as other types of things like shoes and things like that for athletes. I can tell you in 26 years I've been an athletic director, I've never seen a kid not participating in a sport because they didn't have enough money. There's always somebody stepping up. If it's the coach, myself, or somebody would always step in for that. 3 years ago, we had a young Hispanic student who we encouraged to get insurance. He didn't want to play. We helped end up buying him insurance that was just minimal coverage, and he had a compound fracture of his leg that required numerous surgery. And just to show you about the communities, North Salem was one of the schools that we were playing at the time. They raised over $2,000. We had our community raise over $3,000. The docs, Dr. David Dorsett actually volunteered his time for that. And it just shows you what the doctors can do in a community like we have here in Salem-Keizer. I guess in closing, I'd like to say that we like to see this because it will allow us to update our files on these students with a student health history. We have emergency cards that go with all of our coaches, and those cards are basically in a computer that they're processed out of a computer with any kind of emergency details or any kind of special problems we need to worry about those kids. And our coaches are adamant about taking those not only to their practices, but also to all their games. At this time, I will take any questions. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Anderson, Oregon Medical Association. Dr. Lace unfortunately had to leave. He has a practice to manage, and he had to run. But I would direct you to his testimony, which you have, I believe, before you, and encourage you to read it. One of the problems with one of the things about being last is good for you. Probably don't have to hear anymore. Hazardous for me because everything that I was going to say has already been said. So I'll cut right to the chase since the hour is getting late. I would simply like to say that the Oregon Medical Association is very much in support of this issue and the doctors that are members of our association. In our opinion, the statute should include a provision that mandates not only a form that has been mentioned several times here today, but also the standard protocol to be followed. And I think this gets to something that Senator Gordley had asked earlier in relation to a form. And what is a protocol but no more than a list of specific items and conditions that are to be followed and included during the examination? What you have from me is not only the testimony, but also, and I apologize, Mr. Chair, for not having this in LC form, but there is a brief half page that shows several different types of suggested amendments to the committee. One deals with protocol, and we would suggest that in Section 1, Sub 2 of the printed bill in Line 8 and in Line 15, after the words form in both locations, that we insert or be inserted the words and protocol. That would include form and protocol in each case. One additional amendment, which is located at the bottom of that half sheet, is a suggestion because it's needed. Without enforcement, this law would lack the necessary teeth to ensure compliance. Therefore, we suggest that in Section 1, Sub 5, include the following language. In line 18, after the word section, insert, comma, and shall, by rule, prescribe penalties for violations of this section. Now, that is the suggested amendment language before you. However, I was told just prior to the committee convening today that there is possibly language already existing in statute that may cover this area of enforcement and compliance. And in the audience, I was pointed out that Mr. Greg McMurdo was here and might be able to shed some light on what that language or where you might go to find it. I'm not sure if he would like to volunteer and come up and give us that language or not. I hate to volunteer for him.
Mr. McMurdo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For your record, Greg McMurdo, representing the Oregon Department of Education. Actually, for purposes of Senate Bill 160, without new language, there really is no mechanism for the department to enforce this. But if that's what the committee would like, there are a number of ways that I could come up with some language that I think would accomplish what Mr. Anderson has suggested. I'd be happy to work with your administrator to get that language.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Fisher.
To make sure, I'm not about to go back and face a school district and a bunch of constituents on something that we just did as a feel-good. And if there's been three people in the system die from the sports field and sports activities in the school system over the past year, I don't know how that correlates with other years, but let's say there's been 10 since 1995 or some such a matter that's happened. If we don't have statistics that show whether they had physicals in recent time and whether those physicals were sufficient to find it out, if indeed it could have been found out, then we got a whole lot of problems that aren't related to having schools have physical every 2 years. We've either got some problems, some doctors that are doing some shoddy work, or some things that are not even being done at all, or either that, or we're facing maybe something that's far out of the question to even be found out by a physical, and therefore I'm just not prepared to go back and tell my people that I just voted on this whim because it sounded like a good thing to be doing. And I am like Senator Farioli, I favor the idea of this, if it can be shown in any way, shape, or form, that we actually have a chance to better the system and not just add some more formalities to something that is going to help us out a great deal. So I definitely want to see somebody coming up with some statistics, and it shouldn't take very long to find out in these past records, I wouldn't think, of these are calamitous things that happen, and they're almost all potential litigation. And if the school districts aren't protecting themselves any better than that, if they wouldn't have these statistics to back up some type of a lawsuit or something that might come to them after something like this happens, like I said, we got a whole lot bigger problem than just the fact of having a physical every 2 years.
I think that, Senator Fisher, that it would be real appropriate that you talk with your school district people and be assured by them whether or not this is something they'd be in favor of. I really come down, as Senator Gridley has, I believe this is a policy issue that goes beyond life-threatening issues, but student health in general, and protecting them against conditions or injuries that would, in fact, make their life less enjoyable or less livable in the future. So I, personally, I'm very supportive of this. I think we do need some mechanism to perhaps to make it more enforceable. But we have listened to a lot of testimony today. I think we need to have opportunity to talk about it. We're not going to move quickly to move this to a work session. I think that we have had two separate proposed amendments. Maybe there are other issues that we need to deal with. But we do have one further witness today. We're running short of time. I can read writing, but some writing I can't read. Ed?
Doctor.
Ed Johnston. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Edward Johnston. I'm from Lincoln County. And I'm definitely opposed to this bill, and I'll explain my reasons why. Number one is I'm on the Toledo Local School Committee, position number one. In our school district, before kids could do sports, they have to have a physical. And it's that in Portland, too. My brothers have been in sports in this county or in this state for 20 years. And in school, they don't have a physical. They're not allowed to be in sports. That's a standard practice. So coming up with something like this, to me, is preposterous, because the other point is dealing with Senate Bill 449 that passed 99 session. Senate Bill 449 legally gives the right for state services, children, family, state police department to go into the school files, take a school file, and legally build a case against the family and the child. So any information on this type of structure of the Senate bill would legally end up liable to the state to be in lawsuits. Because the Senate Bill 449, we're already in procedure of two lawsuits dealing with our school district on illegal information that pertained from our students on our family and neighbors on questionnaires that they call now curriculum in schools to do personal information on your families, to know how many guns you have in your home, to know what your family does and your neighbors do. And as soon as Senate Bill 449 passed last term, I was the only one that spoke against it on the Senate floor that I recall. Dealing with that, because I read the language, because it was dealing with alleged allegations. Because alleged allegations, anybody can be falsely accused of anything. And we do a bill like this, I can see families being falsely accused. The kid breaks his leg in sports, and the next thing you know, the father's getting blamed for breaking his son's leg. It's already happened in the state. We've had testimony on the Senate floor 2 and 3 years ago with people with SCF coming up on these type of testimony. When Senate Bill 449 passed, that devastated this state. There is more than one lawsuit that has started up dealing with that Senate bill on illegal information obtained by Services to Children and Family and state police. And it horrifies me, because we're passing a bill that there's already a system in place that exists. Because if your kids do not go to physical, they do not play in sports. So mandating something that is setting up for legalization for Services to Children and Family and state police. And I'm be blunt, that's the way I see it, you know. And I'm going to be blunt with a lot of Senate bills coming up on the Senate session, deal with it, because we are in process dealing with lawsuits going against some of these bills because of Privacy Act in school, because Senate Bill 449, there is no such thing as Privacy Act in a school system anymore. And that's something we all should be concerned for our own safety, because we don't know how it's going to be applied against us or anybody we know just because of a mishap, because of false allegations. So I seriously think that we need to consider passing something that's already in place instead of benefiting somebody's financial gain out of it. We need to look for the citizens of Oregon and how we're going to protect them and their children. And to me, dealing with this and Senate Bill 449, all we're doing is endangering our citizens. And I'll leave it at that. Appreciate your time. Do I have any questions on that?
Any questions for the witness? Thank you.
And I'll be bringing a lot of testimony up the Senate session dealing with everything going on in Lincoln County on it, and Senator George is well aware of it.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
You bet. Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When the bill comes back for discussion, I would like to hear a perspective on how the bill does or does not cover private school students. That's an issue that's been raised by Jim Green from the Oregon School Boards Association, and I appreciate that he sent a note raising the issue.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there further comments or discussions?
Thank you for indulgence, Mr. Chair.
Not a problem. Appreciate your participation, and we're going to close our hearing, and if there's nothing further, we'll close our Senate Education Committee hearing today.
Please.